You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam,
Nisiaya, and the Scatulia to leave in Homosqueam Mustayo. All right, good morning, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. Final season is finally over, so congratulations to everyone who successfully finished their finals. And we are finally at the end of our semester. The good news is that we finished it. The bad news is, well, it's not bad news, but we're going to be starting a new, fresh semester in about 10 or so days. And I hope that everyone had a safe flight to wherever they needed to be during the Christmas break. And I hope everyone had a wonderful time spending their Christmas with your loved ones. Today's episode, I will be talking on my own. There's no guest because everyone is busy. And also, I think it's nice to sometimes do an episode on my own from time to time. So, before we start, I do have a song that I would like to play to kick it off. And in between, I'll probably add in another song and some ads. So, the first song that I'll be playing is Somebody to Love by Queen. I'm sure most of you guys know what this song is. I've been recently listening to this for a long time, and I enjoy it. So, I hope you guys enjoy it too. Here we go.
Cell. One day I'll somebody to love. Find me 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 somebody to love.
That was the first song. But yeah, I really, really like this song. For some reason, my favorite part of this song is the piano solo right after his first verse, I think. And I actually want to learn that verse because I think that piano solo because it sounds really, really nice. All right, welcome back, whoever just joined in. I don't know who's listening to my show this morning. I don't know if there's a way to even find out how many views there are, but I'm assuming that there are people that are starting their day off listening to my voice. So the first thing I want to mention is, since I am doing my show alone today, if anyone wants to chime in and call the station and have a conversation or want to share a comment, just call the number 604-822-2487. If you call this number, then it will ring directly to the station that I am in right now, live, and you can probably be on air, and it's pretty fun. So today, I will be discussing a movie. Now, what movie is this? It's called In Time. And it's a movie that stars Justin Timberlake. And I actually really like Justin Timberlake movies because I think he's a really good artist, singer, but also a very, very, very talented actor as well. So In Time is a movie about where time, the currency is time. So people have a digital printed out watch on their wrist, and whatever time that is on that on your wrist is basically your life span. So if you have like 20 minutes left, that means you have 20 minutes left to live on Earth, and then you shut down and you die. So yeah, Justin Timberlake and Amanda Seyfried, I think that's how you say it, and Cillian Murphy, who played Thomas Shelby in Peaky Blinders, which I have yet to finish. I need to finish that. But it's a pretty dark show. But yes, In Time is it's basically a movie where time is the currency. So it's like, for us, currency is money. And then for them, it's literally time. So the people in the poor class, like the poorer class who don't have the amount of time that they have when they're living, they're basically living day by day, just like how people live, like bill by bill, or else they'll get evicted. So Justin Timberlake is not he's one of the main characters, and he is the main guy both the protagonist, and I also think he can be the antagonist as well, and I will share that later on. But he grew up in a family where he wasn't offered a lot of time. But the cool thing is that in this world, everyone is born, and then I think once they hit the age of 18 or 20, something along those ages, you stop aging, and then your timer starts. And everyone starts off with a year. And then the year that you start off with is basically like, it's almost like a loan. And then once that year is up, you need to start working and gaining time for you to survive. But the problem is, people that come from a lower class that don't have a lot of time end up using the year that they are given from the start, paying off like their family members' debts or whatnot to actually survive. So anyways, Justin Timberlake, the main character, he is not from a wealthy family. So he lives day by day. And the problem in this movie is that because as long as you have time on your wrist, you can live forever. So it's possible to be immortal. But this is a problem because overpopulation is going to happen. And when that happens, that's going to become a bigger problem. So what's happening is every single day, they're trying to increase the prices, which means time, because the currency is time. So $2 for a cup of coffee is replaced like 2 minutes per coffee. But they would increase the time per coffee. So like 4 minutes per coffee. And then But then the problem is, even though the price of the item increases, your time wage does not. And they do this on purpose because they need to prevent overpopulation from happening. So the people that are working the same job every day are eventually going to run out of time and die. And that's the plan for, you know, upper class people. And Justin Timberlake is like, this is mad. This is something that shouldn't happen and everyone should live. But I have some idea where like, I don't know about that, because overpopulation is a big problem in this situation where literally everyone can live an unlimited life if they have the time. Also in this movie, just like how we have countries, it's a bit different. There's like a hierarchy system where they have like stages. Where, for example, like stage 1 is for a bit like the poorer people, and then stage 12 is for like the rich. So then the rich people would have like millions of years, yet the poor people have literally 24 hours, and then they're living day by day. So what happens is Justin Timberlake eventually goes to the level stage where the wealthy people are living. And how he does that is he met someone in a bar, and this guy was just drinking and he just didn't care about anything. And he looked closer and he was actually one of the wealthy people that had a century worth of time. And where Justin Timberlake lives, if you have a century worth of time, you're not going to survive because people are going to come and steal all your time, and you're going to die. So what happens is, that basically happens. The guy in the bar, he meets some really, really bad people, and he is about to get mugged. And in this time, Justin Timberlake comes out and he saves the day. The guy survives. And so they go into this random building, and they hide there for a while until they find that the other people are going to stop searching them. But there's a reason why that guy in the bar was drinking because he didn't care. He just wanted to die. But he didn't want to die just out of nowhere. So what he did was he secretly gave his century worth of time to Justin Timberlake. So in the morning, the guy eventually dies because he runs out of time. And Justin Timberlake is left with a century worth of time. So what he does is he's like, okay, I need to use this time to make a difference. So then he goes to the stage 12, which is the wealthy people stage, and he starts gambling. And he eventually meets like this girl from a wealthy family, and they start dating. And then the problem of overpopulation and how they should, you know, prevent it, and all that just comes in all at once. And so what Justin Timberlake does is, from the time that he receives, he would give it away to the stage one where he's from. So then, you know, other people that are not rich, they would have the time to live another day. So then that's basically the movie, where he's trying to prevent people from dying, because his mother went that way as well. But I feel like that's not... And then he starts robbing banks, which means he starts robbing money, and then he starts exploiting it to other people. And I looked at this movie and I'm like, you know what? It seems like he's doing a... Oh, this is going to sound weird. He seems like he's doing a good job, but when overpopulation does hit, I honestly don't know what's going to happen. Because there's going to be a time where there's just going to be too many people in this world. And I feel like the beauty of life and the value that life has is because of death. The fact that we have death, and that you don't know when you're going to die, and that you have the ability to die one day, is some sort of motivation for us and gives us a sense of value to living. So then we don't waste the time that we have and live fully, instead of taking time for granted and doing whatever you want, whenever you want, or not caring about anything around you. So I think this was a pretty good movie. It shows the value of time, the meaning of life, and how some systems in our world are not perfect. But yet, sometimes you do need to consider the reasons behind some actions, because I'm sure there is some things that you should take into consideration, because nothing is just one-sided. I think there's two sides to any sort of story. So it's important to look into both sides and see which one is more right, I guess. But then again, it's never really right, because everyone has different opinions. So it's just good to be open, I think. Be open to ideas and discuss a lot of things with a lot of people. But yes, I would recommend this movie to anyone that is interested in like time or like life or just like intent. Because it's also like an action movie as well, because there's like fight scenes and stuff. So yeah, this is a pretty good movie to watch. But today, I think I'll wrap up the movie segment right now. And I think I'm going to be adding in a fun fact segment into my show now, because I think fun facts are pretty cool, and I would want to listen to fun facts. But the problem is, I don't know how accurate these fun facts even are. So, I mean, assuming that they're facts that are actually true, because I think the one that I chose right now, it was updated 2022, December 23rd. So this is fairly recent, so I'm sure this is an accurate list of facts. But before we go into the facts, I am going to be turning on some PSAs, and we will be right back.
Authentic flour tortillas pan-fried until golden brown.
Yum!
Or vegan taco kits filled with traditional Mexican chilies and spices.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Or how about vegan potato and chorizo taquitos?
How can I get these foods immediately?
Buy Lita's Mexican Foods.
Sounds delicious. Tell me more.
Lita's Mexican Foods is a female-managed, plant-based Mexican food innovator in BC. Their products come prepackaged and frozen at tons of local grocery stores around Metro Vancouver. Not to mention they can be cooked in under 10 minutes.
Wow, that sounds perfect for me. I've been so busy lately and dinner takes so long to make. Where can I get my hands on some Lita's Mexican Foods?
Lots of places. Whole Foods, Choices, Stong's, Vegan Supply, Donald's, and even UBC Bookstore. Hey, where are you going?
To buy some Lita's Mexican Foods. See you later.
See ya.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial, open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
On January 17th, CITR 101.9 FM presents our annual 24 Hours of Radio Art programming featuring innovative approaches to music and sound. It's 24 hours of spoken word, ambient, drone, field recordings, and sound walks, collage, technical support calls, voicemail fails, sound art, and noise. Listen live on CITR 101.9 FM or online at citr.ca.
Awakened one, listen without distraction.
Ready or not, you're going in.
Listen to Breakfast with the Browns every Monday morning.
From 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Something that just offers you the place, the chance to stay in a mood.
Breakfast with the Browns.
The best in ambient, downtempo, electronic, ASMR, pop loungecore music. Totally Alpha Wave.
On CITR 101.9 FM.
Thus the most ordinary movement in the world may agitate 1,000 odd disconnected fragments. Now bright, now dim. Hanging and bobbing and dipping and flaunting.
So, beauty remains in the impossibilities of the body.
You know that, don't you? Wake up.
All right, we are back. The PSAs and ads were there. And yes, before we get into the segment, I actually have a guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Matt, and I am 18 years old and currently going to the University of Toronto.
And what are you studying?
I am studying, it's pretty broad because I'm first year right now, but I'm intending to study English. Yep, that's my intention right now.
So where did you live before when you were in Toronto?
I lived in BC, Coquitlam, and... Oh, in Toronto?
No, before you were in Toronto.
Before I was in Toronto, I lived in Coquitlam in BC.
Oh.
Yeah.
How was Toronto?
Toronto, it's a very busy city compared to Coquitlam. There's lots of people, lots of cars, and the environment in the university is a lot different than UBC because it's in the middle of the city. Like, what do you expect?
True. Do you like Toronto better or Coquitlam?
Depends on what we're talking about. For just living, Toronto is much more fun. Because it's a city and there's lots of things to do. But for, eating and stuff, here is a lot better because I'm with my family.
Okay.
I'd prefer to live in Toronto, though, when I grow up. I'm more used to it now.
You'd prefer living in Toronto?
I would, yeah. Because, I don't know, it's just more fun.
Oh,
it's like living in Vancouver with, like, your best friends.
Okay, that's cool. Because I've been to Korea, and there are more things to do in Korea. Like, the amusement parks are better. But the funny thing is, I've never been to the PNE. So, like, I don't have any amusement park experience here, so I don't have anything to compare it with. But I'm pretty sure that the water parks, the amusement parks, probably the food is better in Korea. But I would pretty much rather live here because I feel more at home. It feels more like a vacation when I go to Korea compared to when I'm living here, which is cool. I guess it's different for Toronto. I've never been there. I should go. What do you think I should do when I go to Toronto?
If you like going out with your friends a lot, if you're a very social person, then I would feel like you should like go to the bar or go clubbing with your friends because that's very common. If not, just stay in BC.
No, yeah, okay.
Or yeah, Toronto's a very busy city, so.
So extroverts go to Toronto, introverts stay in BC.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would think.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you could stay home, but that would be honestly a waste. It's like staying home in Vancouver. Like, who would do that when right in front of you there's literally everything?
That is true. And yes, I would actually like to put on another song today because I feel like putting songs on is a good way to create small breaks. My guest today in front of me, I don't know if I mentioned it, is actually my younger brother. He's my younger brother. We have been brothers for currently 16 years. Or no, how old are you again?
60, bro.
Sorry, 18. We have been brothers for 18 years, so we know each other quite well. So, you remember Topham Elementary?
I do, yeah.
Yes. Do you remember the song, Best Day of My Life?
Oh.
It goes like, the best day of my life.
I love that song.
Yeah. Do you remember when they turned that song on?
Yeah, it was like every time we did the slideshow.
Yeah.
Yeah, every time it came out.
Yeah, it's the slideshow like at the end of the year or something. And
no,
where,
it wasn't the end of the year.
I think it was the...
No. It came out more often than that.
Like, okay, it's basically a slideshow in elementary.
It was like once every month, I think.
What?
Yeah, it was...
Because it was during assemblies. Anyways, it's basically... like a slideshow that the teachers or the principal makes about, and they combine a bunch of photos taken throughout like the school year or whatever. And so in the slideshow, they would add music, and almost every time the best day of my life would come out. And so whenever I hear this song, it reminds me of elementary school. And it also reminds me how out of all the slides, I think I only came out two times. So I think... if I were to go back, I would want to take more pictures so then I can come out in the slides. Because for some reason, you just seem like everyone's like, oh my God, when you're up on the slide. You just have like this feeling of popularity when you're in elementary school. But before we get into the song, do you have any games that you remember you played in elementary school that you would like to talk about?
Games?
I remember quite a bit.
The only game I really liked playing was Clash Royale.
In elementary school?
Yes, when I was in grade 5, I think I started.
No, I'm talking about Topham.
Okay, Topham.
Topham.
Like outdoor activities or?
Yeah. I don't think we did any indoor.
No, we did. Oh yeah,
like
outdoors.
What?
We played like Grounded.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember Grounded? That was the most popular.
No, we
game.
Played Manhunt.
That I don't really remember.
Manhunt, we played Manhunt, Foursquare.
Foursquare, I love Foursquare.
I don't know, it got pretty spicy.
Hmm?
Yeah, Foursquare was a classic.
Yeah,
I remember. People would be like, now that I think of it, it's like all the students would wait in front of the door And then once the bell rang, everyone would just like speed out and just run towards the pole in the playground. And the last one there would be the one it for Manhunt. Yeah, those were good times. All right. Without further ado, let's put on this song. All right, we are back. But yeah, whenever I listen to this song, it reminds me of Topham Elementary School. Speaking of Topham Elementary School, I have just found another person that went to Topham Elementary School that happens to know Topham Elementary School way better than how I know Topham Elementary School. And he is actually a year older than me. And coincidentally, he's also my brother. We have known each other for about 18 years. 19 years, actually. Yeah, we've known each other for 19 years. And he is currently a professional golfer. Welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, fabulous.
Good. I didn't catch your name. What was your name?
I'm Jess. Jess Lee.
Jess Lee. Yep.
You're my brother, you should know.
Yes, we've known each other for 19 years, but I still struggle. But yes, we are here with Matt and Jess. Matt, are you okay? You seem a little nervous.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Topham Elementary, following up question, Jess, do you have any games you remember playing when you were in Topham Elementary School, indoors or outdoors?
Yeah, there was There was a few. I mean, I was listening to you guys talking before, and I believe it was Grounders, not Grounded.
I don't even remember that game.
It was Grounders.
I think it was Grounders.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Not Grounded, but yeah, that was a fun game. There was one game called Thicket that we used to play as well.
It's in the forest, right?
Yeah, we used to go because we had a forest right beside the field of our school, and it was a fun game, but dangerous, sort of.
Hey, remember the time where there was like this homeless tent in the forest?
Oh, there was a big crest of a valley and waterfalls and all those things. It was pretty deep down there.
It was like a forest. It was pretty dangerous, mm-hmm. actually. But yeah, I remember that forest. I remember going into the forest after school and just hanging out with friends. Did you guys remember the homeless tent that was there?
I don't.
You don't remember? I mean, do you remember?
No.
Remember like when...
I think so, yeah.
Like people, like the students had like a theory where like someone was living there.
I remember there was like a big beehive.
Beehive?
Beehive,
oh, I think there was a beehive.
There was, yeah. On the ground. Oh, and remember in Topham, I was really into the game Kendama.
Oh, yeah!
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. I didn't play that.
How do you say it? Is it like a Japanese toy? Like, is it a toy?
I think it's a Japanese...
It's a Japanese toy.
Is it a toy?
It's called Kendama.
For those of you that don't know what it is, it's basically like a wooden like stick that has like little cups engraved into it and like a little stick in the middle or something. And then there's a string that attaches to another wooden ball that has a hole. And you play around with it and you could do all sorts of tricks. And in our school, we had like stages where if you were able to complete a certain set of skills, you could go to like pro one or like pro two or pro three. And my younger brother, Matt, he was the one that was able to get the highest ranking in our entire elementary school. But yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
Yeah.
Capture the Flag was fun too.
Oh yeah.
Dude, Capture the Flag was so tiring though, because you had to run so much.
But we played it in the forest.
How do you play that in the forest?
Wait, I've never done that.
We played Capture the Flag in the forest, and it was crazy.
When did you do that?
And there was boundaries.
Wait, I don't know when you did that.
No, we did. I think I played it when I was in grade 6. Or grade 6, I think. And there was
basketball.
Was Mr. Bernier?
I think it was... I don't know. I'm not sure. But the forest, it was pretty fun.
Oh, I see. Okay. Moving on to the Topham topic, Jess, you are a professional golfer. How is that?
It's been going pretty well. I mean, I've been doing it since I was super young. So,
I assume that you traveled a lot for your tournaments.
Yes.
Were there any countries in particular that you really enjoyed playing at, and why?
Well, I played pretty globally. I played around Canada, the U.S., you know. Even Asia, Korea, and all those things. And playing in Korea was super fun. And I think it's pretty memorable for me. Played in different areas in Korea. Played in the city, the suburbs, the island right below south. And it was really fun to see different cultures and interact with different beings of different, you know, styles of golf and interactions with different people, and it was really fun, and I learned a lot, and yeah, it was a good time. Very different from the West.
I see. Yeah, I haven't really traveled a lot. Even in when I was in Korea, I didn't go to a lot of cities. I kind of mostly stayed in Seoul or like Shincheon. But yeah, all right. I feel like we're getting a little comfortable being on air. Shall we move on to fun facts?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, all right, fun facts. I think fun facts are always is a really good icebreaker, I think. All right, first one. This is kind of weird. Banging your head against a wall for 1 hour burns 150 calories. Okay, first of all...
That was so
okay, we all go to the gym. And we know that 150 calories is not a lot. And I would, if I would run maybe 10 minutes, that would burn 200. And for you to bang your head on a wall for an hour and it only burns 150 calories.
Constantly?
Well, yeah. You just constantly bang your head. Okay, if you're not keen on losing brain cells, you might want to give this calorie burning idea a miss.
Yeah.
A safer way to burn 150 calories would be to take your dog for a walk for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Without a concussion.
Without a concussion, losing brain cells. Because mm-hmm. I believe your brain cells, once they're dead, they're dead. You can't remake brain cells.
No.
All right. Second one. Switzerland. In Switzerland, it is illegal to own just one guinea pig. Oh, it's just one guinea pig. You have to have
it's
multiple.
It's illegal?
Yeah, so it's illegal to own just one guinea pig.
So you have
here's
to
the follow-up.
Multiple ones?
Yeah, here's the follow-up paragraph. While this may sound like an odd law to try and enforce, it makes perfect sense. Guinea pigs are social animals and easily feel lonely or depressed, which is basically a form of animal cruelty. The real question you should be asking is why this isn't a law everywhere.
I don't know, because aren't humans social too?
Well, yeah, but we have so much like.
And aren't different animals social too? I don't know.
Huh. I don't weird. Know, but like fish and those guys are, they're probably okay.
I wonder why they chose specifically guinea pigs.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I heard that guinea pigs are smelly, though.
Hamsters, too.
Sort hamsters, of. Yeah.
I mean, if my you friend guys... has rabbits, and they're smelly,
oh, my
too.
God. Rabbits?
Yeah.
I heard that, like, rabbits can grow pretty large.
It was huge.
Yeah. Because, like, when you pick it up, they, like, stretch. And they're probably pretty tall. If you guys were to have a pet, because we've never had a pet, but if you were to have a pet, what would you have?
I'd have a dog.
A dog?
I've always wanted a dog.
Really? Are you up for the responsibility?
No.
The poop?
Not really.
No? why do you want a dog?
I don't know. I just want to have a dog.
You just like the idea of having a dog?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I won't own one.
You want to own a dog?
I won't.
You won't?
Until when I'm like...
You want to like rent a dog?
No, until I'm like 25.
Can
maybe?
You rent a dog?
No, I don't think. No, no. Wait, you could dog sit, I think.
Dog sit.
Yeah. Sorry, what did you say?
Maybe when I'm like financially okay with my living, then I would get a dog. But right now I'm too.
You're a brokey.
I'm too busy and I'm broke.
He can't take care of himself.
Yeah, you're a brokey.
Yeah, I'm too broke. Yeah.
What about you? What kind of pet
what mean? Do you call those dogs again? The
golden retriever?
The long ones.
Hot dogs?
Yeah, the hot dogs. The black ones. Or they're often dark. The little ones with short legs, those ones are cute. And pugs and bulldogs
pugs.
Are kind of cute too.
Ooh, bulldogs. Yeah. They grow so large though.
Yeah, but they're super cute. And the long body ones with the short legs, I forgot what it was called.
I always called them the hot dogs.
Yeah.
Did
Hold
you,
on, let me search it
did
up.
Did you know that, I think it was pugs. Pugs are not able to breathe through their mouth.
Who said that?
Dachshunds.
It shows.
Oh, they're called dachshunds?
Dachshunds, yeah.
Oh.
Dachshunds. They're super cute.
Wait, where did you hear that pug joke?
So
not a joke, it's
that,
a fact.
That's a fact.
Yes,
how did
it
you
is
know
a
that?
Fact.
That's a fact.
I did
yeah.
know that. They can't breathe through their mouth. So that's why they're always struggling to breathe.
Oh, mouth? Hold on.
The only oh mouth.
No,
is
are
it
you
nose?
Sure it's the
no,
mouth?
No, it was
because their
was
faces,
mouth.
Their
it
faces was... are squished up, sorta. So.
Yeah. So that's why they. Oh, is it the heart? Is it the nose or the mouth?
Because they do have breathing issues. I have a friend who owns a bulldog, and it has issues with breathing because of the what is it? The face structure.
What?
They struggle. They have a short lifetimes because of their breathing. They suffer from a disease called, I don't know how you pronounce it. Oh, whatever.
Yeah, but yeah, we're not.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't even know this. Okay.
Yeah, it's.
Okay. Oh my God, this is.
Yeah, maybe I just, yeah. All right. The next fact that we are going to be saying is, during your lifetime, you will produce enough saliva to fill 50 bathtubs.
That's crazy.
I've seen that before. That's crazy. Or I've read that before, yeah.
This, because the average person produces roughly 1 ounce, which is 30 milliliters, of saliva every hour. That's 24.3 ounces, which equals to 720 mils, or one full wine bottle's worth of saliva a day.
That's
what?
A lot, yeah.
A day?
Is that even possible?
Well, I mean, it's necessary, right?
Maybe we don't know because we just swallow it while we eat.
Yeah.
And, like, we can't keep track of how much saliva we're producing because we just unconsciously keep swallowing it. Yeah, this is pretty interesting. With the average global life expectancy being about 72 years, this means that you produce an average of 4,968 gallons, which equals to over 8,000 liters of saliva in your time. Okay.
Okay, next.
Next. Polar bears could eat as many... Oh, this is... They can eat 10 penguins in a single sitting.
Okay.
Probably. Wow. They're big animals. Car manufacturer. Oh, I don't. Oh, this is interesting. Car manufacturer Volkswagen makes sausages.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So most people know Volkswagen for their iconic line of camper vans, the Kombi, or even the Beetle.
Yeah.
A lesser known product that comes out of Volkswagen factories is currywurst sausages. But why in the world would Volkswagen make sausages?
Are they distributed throughout the world, or is it just
the
sausages?
Volkswagen sausages are so popular that they bring in more revenue than their cars. I didn't even know Volkswagen had a brand sausage. Like, they had... Their sausages were so popular, yeah. They ended up selling them commercially.
Then we should go to a market and see what they are. Because
what
if it's that popular? I mean, I didn't know this.
Yeah, I had no idea. What sausages did they make?
I don't know.
All right, next fact. Oh, this one's a good one. Hawaiian pizza is a Canadian invention.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a question. So then is Canadian... Okay, so pizza itself is an Italian cuisine, is included in Italian cuisine, right? However, if Hawaiian pizza is invented in Canada, would that be considered Canadian cuisine, like maple syrup? Or would it still be Italian?
Well, pizza itself, I mean, look, McDonald's is from the U.S., right?
Yeah.
But they have different kinds of menus throughout different McDonald's throughout the world.
That's true.
So I guess it's... I mean, pizza is still Italian, but we could make it our own, towards our own taste, sort of, you know?
What do you think, Matt?
I agree with what he said. I feel like it's still originally an Italian food, because it's basing off of pizza, but we could have, like, we can alter, like, the appearance to, you know, make it more towards how we prefer it to taste like. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I think I know what you're saying. Okay, this fact you guys probably know, and I have a follow-up question for this because it's pretty cool. Only 5% of the ocean has been explored. This you guys probably know. Only 5%. And I'm sure it's almost as... like the same percentage for the Amazon as well. Like, we have no idea about what is going on in the Amazon or the ocean, or like what is still existent. But if you guys were to choose one place to really go in depth and learn about, would it be the ocean or would it be the Amazon?
I actually am very interested in both topics, and I watch a lot of things related to these things, But I think it would be the ocean I would have to go with. Just because something about the ocean just seems much more unknown. I know it sounds kind of weird because both are unknown, but something about the deep blue, you know? Only 5%. I believe it's a little more for the Amazon. I'm not sure. I was watching podcasts and stuff, and I think it's a little more that has been discovered in the Amazon.
Oh.
But just about the deep blue, I mean...
Deep blue as in like the ocean, right?
Yeah, just... We can't go in there, you know?
Hmm.
What do you think?
It's just mysterious.
I don't know, man. The ocean scares me. I think I'd want to hear about the information about what's in the ocean, but I don't think I want to go in the ocean. But if I had the ability to breathe underwater and not be affected by the pressure of the water, then I'd probably maybe go to the ocean. But I think I'll have a pretty good time exploring the Amazon because of the animals. Because I feel like there'll be pretty cool animals living in the Amazon right now that we have yet to discover.
I mean, I'd definitely go down in a submarine now.
Oh, no, I would not. I don't think... for some reason, submarines scare me, bro. I don't know. It's... I wonder what the material they use to make a submarine that can withstand that pressure.
Yeah.
That's must be some real hard, like, material. Yes, Matt, what do you think? Would you rather want to explore the ocean or the Amazon?
I would want to explore the ocean more because, I don't know, it's something where humans don't really live, right? Humans don't live in the ocean. So I'm obviously, like, a lot more curious into what might be in the ocean because there might be things that I've never seen before. And I'm pretty sure there are lots of things. So, yeah, ocean for me.
Huh. Okay. Next one. A lion's roar can be heard from 5 miles away. Yeah. Okay, this is a very, very long distance because 5 miles is a really long... Like, I would run a mile and a half and I would be drenched in sweat. And I already know how far that is. But for it to be 5 miles... How does that sound even travel? Does it? Because I'm pretty sure once sound is released, it distributes into a wide range. And for you to hear that, even after that, is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think it's the sound waves, right? That just travel through air.
I wonder if it's you feel the vibration or you actually hear the roar.
Well, I think you could hear both. I mean, that's how whales communicate.
Yeah, echolocation, I think.
Yeah. They are able to detect the waves of sound, you know?
Huh.
But yeah, that's cool. That's really cool.
A lot of animal facts are pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I wonder how they actually... Well, yeah, I think you can measure the hearing. Another one. A baby octopus is about the size of a flea when it's born.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How big is a flea?
A flea is like an ant, almost like an ant, right?
Like a beetle?
Yeah.
No. Beetles are bigger than fleas.
Smaller than a beetle.
Damn.
Oh, here it is. When the baby octopuses emerge from their eggs, they come out fully formed but tiny. They weigh only 0.001 ounce, which is 0.03 grams. Not even half a gram. Wait, not even half a gram. 0.03 grams.
Wow.
You think that this would make them hard to see, but since eggs are laid by the tens of thousands, they're easily spotted. Huh.
Yeah, that's a cool fact.
That's... Yeah, you never know what...
I didn't know they lay that many eggs, too.
That's weird. No, I think the smaller the animal, the bigger, the larger the population of the eggs. Because I think there's like a better chance of them dying or something. But yeah, I think we're going to move on to our last fun fact of the day before we end our episode. All right. Why should we do another? Yeah, let's do another animal fun fact. Here we go. Honeybees can recognize human faces.
I did not know that.
For a long time, we believed that only large-brained mammals could distinguish faces, but the humble honeybee shook that theory up. Bees can distinguish between many different flowers, so it was theorized that they might tell people apart. Scientists discovered that honeybees could recognize a familiar face even days after being trained to do so.
But how would they know that? You know, like, how would they...
They probably observe their behavior.
Behavior?
Because most animals... I'm pretty sure when you're trying to study an animal, because the verbal is not present, you have to dig deep into the behavior of the animal, their reaction, their heart rate, and then try to match in things and see why they're doing certain things.
Yeah, they'd probably, it's pretty cool, you know, bring up an experiment host for, say, a guy, and then see how they react, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't know that. That's cool.
We could basically, I don't know if this is a great representation of doing this, but if your heart rate is low, that means you're calm. But like, what if, even if an animal's heart rate is low, like, what if that means that they're hyper? You know?
You never know, Jeff.
You never know. But yeah, I don't know. Have you guys been stung by bees before?
Oh, yes.
I have
never.
I've been stung by a bee twice in one round of golf competition.
What? Oh, yeah.
It was nasty.
How did you take it? Was the stem stuck in you?
Yes. And one of the guys that I was playing with had a tweezer. And by the way, this was 40-degree weather.
Oh.
And it was nasty. And this guy had a tweezer, and he took it out. And it swelled up a little bit. But it was okay after a couple hours. But, man, it was bad.
What's your story?
I don't really remember. It was when I was really young. So I remember getting stung near my butt, I think. Yeah. That's all I remember.
I don't know.
I was like 4 years old at the time.
I have never been stung. And I hope that I don't, because I am afraid of bees. Although that they won't do anything to you because they're quite friendly, I believe. They don't...
You know those...
Fat bees? Yeah, the fat bees.
I heard that they were the friendliest.
The chubbies.
Bees.
Are they?
Yes.
Well, because aren't those honeybees?
Those are the... What were they called? Bumblebees.
Oh, they're bumblebees. Yeah.
But they look the most frightening.
They do?
Scariest.
No, yeah. Bro. I feel like wasps are the most frightening. Because they're like...
Wasps bees, though? Are they?
Wasps aren't... Wasps are a type of bee.
I don't think they're...
Wait, hold on. Let me search.
They're in the bee family, aren't
but,
they?
But...
Well, then they're technically...
They're just more deadly.
Yeah, they just look like they're... Bees and wasps are, in fact, very closely related to one another, alongside the ants in the insect order of some other stuff. Yeah, I think the wasps belong to the same order of insects as they are not the same. Yeah, apparently they're not, like, the same, but they are... Yeah, I guess you could say, like, yeah, they're just in the bee family, but... Anyways... Okay, we are running out of time. So I think we are going to be ending this episode here. I hope everyone is going to have a wonderful day. The weather out in BC, or not BC, that's way too broad, in Vancouver is fantastic. There's some sun out for once after the long, heavy rain. So please enjoy the sun. Get some vitamin D. And thank you, Jess and Matt, for coming out today.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for having us.
Awesome. All right, everyone, have a wonderful day, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.